Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring you a message this morning from Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. This chapter closes with one of the clearest verses in all of the Scripture on what an offense our efforts are to God in trying to earn our own salvation. What an offense our works are to God. They're not just insufficient. Our works are insufficient, but they're not just insufficient. They're offensive. Galatians 2, verse 21, Paul said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." I do not frustrate the grace of God. I don't frustrate grace like so many people do today. And they have no idea they're doing it. The word frustrate, if you look up that word, the way that it was originally written, it means to set aside, to disesteem, to despise, to bring to naught, to reject. That's what the word means. And he said, "I do not set aside the grace of God. I do not reject the grace of God." He went on to say, "For if righteousness come by the law," if righteousness for a sinner comes by the law, by obedience to God's law, obeying what God said to do. Then he said, "Christ is dead in vain. If my good deeds are what pleases God and earns my favor with Him, if He accepts me into His kingdom and into His presence because of the good that He sees in me, if He looks to me, if it all hinges on what He sees in me, then I have totally taken Christ out of the equation. And He suffered, and He bled, and He died for no reason." That's what that verse of Scripture is saying. Now go with me to verse 11, and we're going to work our way back up to verse 21. Galatians 2, verse 11 says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation." The Jews were steeped in religion. They had been told all their life about this law and that law. There were certain meats that they were not allowed to eat. If you look over at Acts chapter 10, this is where Peter was up on the roof of a house. Acts chapter 10, verse 9 says, "On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beast of the earth, and wild beast, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God told Peter all those things that the law says you're not allowed to eat. Now you think about that, the law. God's word. He said, all those things that the law says you're not allowed to eat, I'm telling you to eat them. And this right here has nothing to do with meat. The purpose of our Lord recording all of this is not to tell us certain things about meat. It has everything to do with God telling sinners that they are not justified in His sight by obeying the law. This has everything to do with God justifying whom He will. He said, don't you call common what I've made clean. Now back in Galatians 2, the Gentiles were probably eating a meat that the law said the Jews were not allowed to eat. The Gentiles were considered heathens, outcast, unclean. They were considered sinners. And the grace of God in Peter caused him to be the friend of publicans and sinners. God showed Peter that's all you are is a sinner. But when some of the Jews came from James, Peter withdrew himself from the Gentiles, and he caused the other Jews with him to withdraw themselves from the Gentiles, and even Barnabas, who traveled with Paul to all the Gentiles in the first place, even he withdrew himself. And they all went back to their law. You see that? They all went back to their law. Verse 14, Paul said, But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He said, If you have been set free from the bondage of the law, why are you trying to put the Gentiles under it? If you know that salvation has nothing to do with obeying the law, why are you by your actions saying to them that it does? Verse 15, he said, We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. He's saying all of us apostles are Jews. We were brought up under the commandments of the law. We're not strangers to it. We're not outcast to it. We're not strangers to the danger of that law. We're not strangers to the bondage of the law. He said in verse 16, Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He said, we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. The reason a sinner could never be justified by obeying God is because no sinner could ever obey God perfectly. That's the great desire of every believer, would be to obey God. And one day, in a sinless state of eternity, we will. We'll obey Him perfectly. But as it is in our natural flesh, it is not possible. No sinner could ever obey Him perfectly in deed and in thought and in motive of the heart. And that's what He demands. God is holy. God is perfect. And He only accepts what is perfect. And sin is mixed with all that we do. That's what the Word of God says. Sin is mixed with all that we do. If you look with me over at Romans chapter 7, this is the Apostle Paul, and he said in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Now you think about this. This is God's apostle saying this. He said, "I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." It's just not possible. I just cannot do it. So our trying to obey God's law can and will never justify us. It cannot justify us. It will not justify us. Over in Acts chapter 13, verse 38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." It's just not possible. It is just not possible. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." He is our wisdom. If we don't have Him, we don't have any wisdom. He is our righteousness. If we don't have Him, we don't have any righteousness. He is our sanctification. People talk about progressive sanctification. They talk about by their works, by their deeds, growing holier and holier before God. If Christ is our sanctification, He's as good as it gets. To grow in sanctification would be to become better than Christ. That's not possible. That's not possible. He is my sanctification. Without Him, I don't have any. And He is my redemption. Without Him, I don't have any. Colossians 2:10 says, "You are complete in Him." In Him. Only in Him. Well, back in Galatians 2, verse 16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." That means if we're justified by the faith of Christ, what it means is it's His faith. It's the faith of Christ. It belongs to Him. It comes to us from Him. And it's performed in us by Him. And what that means is we can't take any credit for believing. Faith is believing God. And our belief is just the result of His work. We don't have any credit due to our name for any of this. Hebrews 12 says He is the author of that faith and He's the finisher of that faith. Verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We believe in the faith of. Think about that. That's what a believer believes. We believe in the faith of. We believe in the faith of Christ. We look to the faith of Christ. We trust His faith that He will give to us. Verse 16 goes on to say, and not the works of the law. We're justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, just in case this is not clear, let me illustrate this. Let's say there are two people, two men. One has lived a life of absolute sin. He's murdered. He's stolen. He's a liar. He's an addict. The other one has gone to church since the day he was born. He has truly tried to give his life to helping his neighbor. He tries to take the low road and give others the high road. Honesty has been policy number one for him. He has always paid his bills on time. He's never tried to cheat on his taxes. He's just an honest, non-confrontational, kind man. Which one of those two men are going to be allowed to enter into glory and live eternally in the presence of God? Which one of those two men? Without the blood of Jesus Christ, the answer is neither one of them. Neither one of them. The one guy may be better than the other guy, but it doesn't matter. He is still not good enough. How good does a person have to be to earn his own way into glory? How good does a person have to be to work his own way into glory? The answer is as good as God. As good as God Himself. So without the blood of Christ, which one of those two men are going to be allowed to enter into glory? Neither one of them. But if both of those two men are covered from head to toe in the blood of the Lamb of God, which one of those two men will be rejected from the presence and the favor of God? If they're both covered in the blood of Christ, the answer is neither one of them. Neither one will be rejected. Paul said in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What he's saying is, if I acknowledge that salvation is in the blood of Christ alone, but I still try to add my works to it, if I say works are still somehow a part of all this, will God still accept me on those grounds? He said, God forbid. God forbid. Verse 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I try to mix my works with God's grace, I make myself a transgressor. Our Lord said, all manner of sin committed against me shall be forgiven, but the sin against the Holy Ghost, that's unbelief. Not believing in Christ alone. Not believing in His work alone. Not believing that that blood alone that He shed on the cross, that's what redeems a sinner. And if we try to add any of our works to His grace and His blood, we're a transgressor before Him. In Christ alone, there's no sin. Outside of Christ alone, I'm a transgressor against God. Verse 19 says, for I, through the law, according to the law, in agreement with the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. How is that possible? When all are born under the curse of the law, and sinners stay under that curse until the day they die, how can I be dead to the law? Verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. He satisfied the law against me when He hung on that tree. He put away all my transgression to the law. He covered me in His sacrificial blood. He made me acceptable to God. As far as the law is concerned, I died. That law, I sinned against God. I sinned against His law. And you know what the law says? You break the law, you pay the penalty. What is the wages of sin? Death. The law said, I must die. And as far as the law is concerned, I died. But as far as God is concerned, I live. Verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's a new creation. There's a new man. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The only reason I'm alive, spiritually speaking, the only reason that I am alive is because of the love of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ for me. That's the only reason. I'm alive to God only because of His love and his sacrifice for me. So he said in verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not disesteem. I do not despise. I do not make nothing out of the grace of God. I set it first. I highly esteem it. I love it. It's my all. It is my all. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And Christ is not dead in vain. Thank God he did not die in vain. Go with me to Romans 8. We'll close with this. Let's read these glorious verses of Scripture. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, verse 33 here in Romans 8 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Those precious chosen people that God shed his blood for. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And in verse 38 he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You know what that tells us? It tells us he did not die in vain. Christ did not die in vain. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. We do not frustrate his glorious grace, do we? We highly esteem it. We love it, and we thank God for it. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless this word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m., Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.